Hey, shippers! Welcome to our first episode in a series of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That's right. Today we are talking about the one, the only, Joel and Midge Maisel. Do we ship it? Listen to find out.
Hi, everyone. I'm Steph.
And I'm Devin.
And welcome to the We Ship It podcast, Mrs. Maisel style.
Whoop, whoop. Yes, we had a blast.
Go ahead. Jane is going off right now.
That's right. We had a blast watching and for Steph rewatching this series. Mm-hmm. This is something that was brand new to me. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I got sucked in from episode one, and it was just a wild ride from there.
So what did you think, Devin, overall? I'm curious because I adored this show.
I actually really enjoyed the making of this show and the characters and the, like, little, like, Easter eggs throughout, mm-hmm. almost, of various, like, theater-related people, mm-hmm. The soundtrack was fun and enjoyable. The storytelling, the characters themselves, like, I loved how each person had their own growth and development throughout. And we'll talk more about that as we go through other characters and sort. But I really like the character developments and the dynamics of how they interact. Hi, Jane.
She's with saying each hello. Other.
I thought it was very interesting.
It's spectacular. And the other reason that I love it is because the makers of Gilmore Girls created the show.
Yes. And I didn't realize that until you mentioned it to me.
Yes. And you can just tell. I mean, it's so fast and quippy. And I just love it. And Midge is a great character. And I honestly, I'm shocked that, like, less people have, like, been engaged with us on social media about it, because I thought it was really popular, but I'm not sure maybe if it's a different age group or what it might be, but I really thought it was good. So if you haven't watched it, I highly recommend watching it because it's just mm-hmm. really funny and really, really good.
Yeah, it's only 5 seasons, and I think they're, like, usually 8 episodes long. I mean, they're like hour-long episodes. But
it's fairly easy to watch. Really, yeah. And I watched it as it was coming out, so I had to wait, like, 2 years between some of the seasons. But you guys could just binge it now. So you should.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
And I have feelings about that last season.
Oh, my gosh. I have feelings about the last episode. Are we doing an episode on Susie and Midge, their friendship?
We sure are.
Oh, heck yeah. Because Susie and Midge, we have a lot to talk about there. There's a lot of unhealth, a lot of beauty. Like, there's just a lot of really, really good stuff with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, without further ado, or I guess to make further ado, I'm going to ask our random question of the day.
Ooh,
let's
here we
see
go.
What we got here on my random question generator. Okay, we're making this non-controversial.
Oh, boy.
What incredibly strong opinion do you have that is completely unimportant in the grand scheme of things?
What?
What's an opinion that you have that you really care about but is not important?
I don't know. Picking your nose and eating it is gross.
That is not controversial, Devin. That is a normal opinion.
You said we're not making it controversial.
No,
right?
I meant, like, political. Oh my gosh, Devin. What opinion do I have that does not matter in the scheme of things? This is a good question. It's making me think. I'm trying to think of what Tom and I fight about a lot that's really, really small and simple.
The only good cookie is a chewy one.
Oh, okay. That is a good one. That's a good one. Tom has this opinion that all of the blinds need to be closed at nighttime or people will see into your house. I have a very
I love
firm
that you're bringing your marriage into this.
I always bring my marriage into this. We ship it after all. But so in my opinion, it does not give a or I do not give a shit if people see inside my house. And I guess that's kind of the opposite. I guess I don't have a strong opinion on that. So yes. That's my answer, though, nonetheless. And Jane is also upset about this, as you can
She
tell.
Has lots of opinions.
Yes, she has lots of opinions. Probably no opinions on Maisel because she really did not watch it with me. But she did listen to Songbirds and Snakes, which is coming next. And she will probably have some opinions on that as well. Okay, so that question, though it was a bust, was still kind of fun. nonetheless, so we need to hop into our summary now.
This is going to be wild.
It is going to be wild, and also Jane's annoying the crap out of me. Okay, so for our summary here, we have Midge and Joel, and at the beginning of Maisel, Midge is not well known at all. She's funny and she likes to tell jokes, but she's not popular or famous. The first episode, I think, or maybe at some point within the first couple, we find out that Joel has cheated on her. She was Mrs. Maisel, but they're actually going to get a divorce and separate and all of these things. Throughout the course of this time, she decides she's going to sort of reinvent herself and become all these different things. She gets different jobs. And she starts to become a comedian as a woman in this time. It wasn't unheard of, but it was kind of not... like, women were not seen as very funny. So, it was kind of funny because I think the way it starts is that she drunkenly or angrily shows up to...
both.
The bar. And the she's just light. Dissing her husband. And, like, people find it very funny. So then from there she becomes a comedian and he gets so mad about it.
Well, not right away, but
eventually it takes a long, long time. There are many ups and downs. She goes on tour with Shy Baldwin. She meets Lenny Bruce. She has all sorts of issues, but really, and we'll talk about this in the Midge and Susie episode. Susie, who is this sort of nobody, comes in as her, manager. Mm-hmm. And the two of them kind of form this, like, alliance. And, like, while we all are hating on Joel, we're like, yes, Midge doesn't need anyone. She just needs her comedy and Susie. So she kind of navigates living on her own and then eventually living with her parents and then all this stuff. And she navigates her comedic life. And sort of as we go on, we start to appreciate Joel more. I mean, I would say he's kind of a jerk the whole time, but at times he, like, really comes through for Midge. So much so that in the end, he ends up giving his bar away, his pride and joy that he builds up, in order to basically save Midge from the mob. There's a lot that happens in there that I'm just not even going to get into, but, they admit to each other, they've always kind of loved each other and they always will. They don't end up together in the series. I think they both have, like, love interests that kind of fall apart. And that's kind of where it ends. And in the end, the last scene,
Joel's still in jail.
Joel's still in jail.
Or prison.
And Midge and Susie are like, they call each other, I think, and they're like
watching
friends
Jeopardy.
Again. Watching, yeah. So we're really kind of left to understand that Joel kind of, like, sacrificed himself to save Midge, and Midge and Susie are the real deal,
the real winners,
the real friends here. So that's kind of like a little bit of a summary of what happens. I mean, the show is, like, hilarious, and there's lots of, like, random plot twists, and as Devin said, like, everyone has their own development, so there's just way too much to get into, but that's kind of, like, their development over time. But yeah, so let's talk about them.
Let's do it. So what are some of the key factors that lead to the breakdown and tumbling of Midge and Joel's marriage?
The fact that Joel cheated, I think.
I mean, that's kind of a big one.
I would say, I mean, I think In my head, and I'm not really sure if I'm remembering this correctly, you've watched it more recently, Devin, but Midge really doesn't do anything wrong to deserve it. Like, I think there are communication issues, but I don't think it's even necessarily like she's not really there for him. I mean, she's trying to focus on herself.
She's super supportive for him.
Yeah, she's super supportive. I think Joel is kind of just a jerk in this moment. Like, he has only been married. It's probably the classic, like, I've been married and I have kids and I'm bored. And he steps out. And it's like, and with his secretary nonetheless. So it's a completely cliche situation. His
dumb secretary.
His dumb as bricks secretary. And then he moves in with her and realizes, oh, she's dumb as bricks. And then he gets his life together. And for me, I really can't say that Midge had any, like, factor, like, she had no hand in destroying this marriage from what I remember. I just remember really hating Joel in the beginning.
Oh, absolutely. I texted you that first night after the first episode. Devin, I was like, I hate Joel.
And I told Devin, I was like, you have to wait.
Big middle finger to Joel right
but
now.
But I mean, he still just, like, did this without any prompting. So he was probably just a bored, I'm married and I got married too young. I think that's the other thing. It seems like they got married young and didn't really date other people. Not to excuse his behavior at all because it's inappropriate, but it seems like that's what they allude to at points.
Yeah, obviously it falls really heavily on Joel's plate. Like, he really dropped the ball here.
Yeah.
And we'll get into a little bit more of how Midge's pursuit of being a comedic kind of impacts their relationship and their marriage overall. But he can't get past the fact that she's good at it at first.
He kind of wanted to do comedy, I think, at one point.
Yes, he does. And he wanted to pursue it as, like, his career. But he was, like, copying other people's bits. And
yeah,
he wasn't, like, even fully into it himself.
But that's what rubs salt into the wound, is that she's actually good at it and that he's not. But he deserves that. Like, he deserves to see that moment. Because I think he walks in when she's bashing him one night at the bar, which, well deserved, buddy.
But I also, like you said, I think it's a matter of, like, they don't communicate well with each other. As much as they have this perfect image of their marriage, they don't really talk or are real with one, authentic with one another. Midge has to, like, do her hair and makeup the night before. Like, she goes to bed, wakes up in the middle of the night when Joel's asleep, and, like, does her hair, does her face, and then lies back down, wakes up early so that Joel doesn't, like, see her with
this,
like, mask and her hair up.
Like, measuring her thighs.
Yeah, she tries to be this perfect, ideal woman,
and he's still bored.
And he won't recognize her for it.
And the thing is, like, what pisses me off the most is that it's really sad. I think the two of them, them being parents, kind of ruined, I think, their marriage, because neither
we'll
of them
talk more about this.
We will, but neither of them took any responsibility when they were together. I mean, they, like, raised these kids, but it's like you could tell neither of them really were, like, fully invested in that.
Right.
And I mean, is it completely and 100% important that your parents are 100% invested in you and only you? No. But I think that, like, the problem with Midge and Joel is they made this commitment. They had these kids, and then they were sort of just, like, shirking them off all the time. Oh, well, you know, you take care of them, you take care of them. So they had no real, like binding to their family. It was sort of just, like, a more of a nuisance than anything.
Yeah, I agree. But, yeah, like I said, a lack of communication. I feel like she was more supportive of his dream of being a comedic than he was.
Oh, definitely. Because it was all the whole women can't do this thing, blah, blah, blah.
All she was good at was making a roast. So, yeah, I think the majority of it falls really on Joel for not like being a good husband and finding himself lacking. He was really insecure of his own ability in his own business, in his own family life, that he kind of just allowed everything to wind up in a ball instead of allowing the two of them together to kind of like pull the thread and
Yeah,
help
they're
un
definitely
unravel it.
not a team when they're married, which is interesting because I would call them a team at the
Later
end
on.
of the show. Well, maybe not at the end, but later on in the show.
Throughout.
Yeah, throughout, like you do see them become a team, which is interesting because they're not married. So it's like
Yeah.
perhaps they're better off that way, is what the show is trying to say, but I wish he would have just like tried harder. I wish he just would have been a better husband.
When he
When
knew
he
it.
knew, and he wa
When
he
he had it
wanted to ma
all.
he wanted to be with her at the end. You could just tell. I mean, he was doing everything for her, but he screwed it up. So
Yep.
anyway, sorry, Joel. Actually, not sorry. Not sorry, Joel.
Sorry, not sorry, Joel.
Yeah, so thank you. Okay, so the next question, what role does Midge's pursuit of stand-up comedy play in her relationship with Joel?
So, I th at the very start of their relationship, it's straight up just that Joel can't stand that she is good at this and that she is going to be kind of dragging his name through the mud because she's going to talk about
It's
their relationship.
emasculating to him.
Yes, it is. And I get that. I understand that. But you also did it to yourself, bro. Like, come on. Like, she wouldn't have these stories to tell if you didn't make the mess yourself. Like, if you're gonna, you have to, if you made the mess, you gotta live with it, bro. Like, and don't be
No
mad at her
sympathy, buddy.
for tearing your name not so, like, it's not like she was on large stages doing this.
Right.
It was at the very start, it was just the gaslight, and it was just to like a small group of people every night. It wasn't like it was a huge crowd that she was doing this in. Now,
Right.
granted, she does become more famous and from there on out.
Oh, yeah.
But even when she does get big and picked up by Shai Baldwin, his demeanor towards her
Oh, I'm
and her
sorry.
like totally changes, and he just gets so involved in her performing. Like,
Yeah.
he's so supportive of it. He flies out to Las Vegas, which is a different kind of story, but to see her do her thing on stage, like where she's meant to be, kind of deal.
Yeah.
He's so excited and so thrilled for her and will do anything for her. And I feel like that's almost one of his main flaws, is that he's like self-sacrificial for this woman.
Yeah. Except when it matters most.
Correct.
He's only self-sacrificial for her once he's sacrificed his marriage, for himself. So, what was I gonna say? I think the it's funny because her stand-up comedy is the reason that he's so insecure at first. And their marriage is the catalyst for her to even be able to be a comic. Like, she gets up there and talks about her marriage, and it resonates to people so much because she's been through some crap that a lot of housewives have been
Right.
through. And they think it's funny because their husbands do the same thing.
And
But if Joel
it's
wouldn't
not
have.
a man talking about it. It's
It's
like,
the.
this wasn't heard of at the
Exactly.
time. Like, she's being realistic about some of these things and
Yes.
what people are going through, and specifically what women are going
And
through at
people
that time
like that.
too.
They like her realism. And I think it's funny because it's her marriage that is the reason she's up on the stage. You could say that she'd be funny anyway, and that's true. But she is called Mrs. Maisel, and her act has to do with her husband that left her. So her marriage is her failed marriage is the catalyst for her comedy, and her comedy is sort of the catalyst for her failed marriage. It's kind of like this ironic cycle, if you will. But the two things are completely interlinked and impact each other in every possible way, I would say.
Very nice. Moving into
now, we're talking about what I want to talk about.
Well, you are diving into. So, how does Midge and Joel navigate co-parenting while separated?
They're terrible parents.
Are they good parents?
In no way. Although, you know, I'll be very careful because I don't want to judge too harshly, as I am probably being judged for my parenting skills as well. So, you know what? Everyone is allowed a certain amount of struggle when it comes to being a parent. I mean, there are difficulties, and you don't want to lose yourself entirely, so I get that completely. But the two of them don't even know what's going on, and I think that that's really highlighted by the fact that we have no idea what's going on in their kids' lives most of the time. Mm-hmm. Midge will literally drop off her kids with her parents, and her parents are like, I didn't know I had the kids today. And she's like, yeah, I gotta go do this or that. And it just feels like they're always like a last resort. And you're probably more familiar with this as it's more recent for you, but her kids at the end don't seem very invested in her career or her at all. I mean, one of them leaves the country to like help people who are in poverty. And yes, the other one,
you don't,
I forget
you don't
what
get
her
to
daughter does. Oh, she's like,
she's a science.
Yes, she's a scientist. Guru. So none of them are particularly interested in their mother's career choice. And none of them are like wanting to be really with their mom too much. So I think it just kind of shows you that Midge's real love was comedy. It wasn't Joel. It wasn't any of the men around her, because we'll talk about the men that she dated as well. But Midge's real love was comedy. It wasn't her husband. Mm-hmm. It wasn't her family. Not even her parents to some degree.
Which is kind of hard to see.
I know.
And we'll talk a little bit more about this towards the end, but it's hard to see someone that is such a socialite isolate herself.
Yeah. Well, it shows,
with,
I mean,
this love of comedy.
Her priority was comedy, and in the end of her life, I don't necessarily think she even regrets it. So
I don't think so either, but it is hard to see that rabbit trail.
Yeah, happen.
Take place. So but I agree, I don't see them being the best parents.
Yeah, no.
Do they care for their children? Yes. Do they love them? Sure. But they use their parents too much as caregivers, and they rely too much on what's the maid's name?
Isn't it like Olga or something?
No, Helda? No, oh gosh.
Helga?
Let me see if I can
forget.
Find this out. Maid's name is Zelda.
Zelda.
I was so close. Yeah. They rely too heavily on Zelda.
All of them do. Even her parents do.
Poor Zelda when she gets married and the husband's like, you gotta let them go.
Yep.
She's like, but they're gonna die.
Yeah, they can't do this without me.
They can't do this. But they don't, and I don't say that they have to focus on their children, but they don't allow their children to be that bridge that helps bring them together either. Like, they just aren't, they don't really put their children's needs first. And
definitely,
essentially as a parent, that is kind of what you need to do at times.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to hand off the consequences just because you don't want to deal with it. Kind
right.
of deal. Right. Like, I don't know. I have weird, and I don't want to say the wrong thing either, because I do like these characters, but I don't think they handle this aspect of their life well at all.
Yeah, I think they're just going through it, honestly. Yeah. So I don't want to judge too harshly, like I said, but they're definitely not as invested.
Do they have trials that, like, make it understandable that they have, like, yes, absolutely. I totally agree that they're going through a lot, but you're allowing your children to suffer because of the issues that you're dealing with, and that's not right either. And we see how it impacts by not having these role models in their lives, how it kind of impacts the trajectory of these children who grow up in the limelight almost, or are almost forgotten because they want to escape, or they want to be recognized by their parents because, like, for whatever, like, I know the daughter's like, I'm smart, look at me, look what I can do, and the mom and Midge is not present in the life. And what's the other one's name? Ethan and Esther. Nailed it. Ethan, like, flies away and lives a life
as far as he can.
Correct. He tries to get away from it all. So it's just showing that, like, they weren't present with them then, so why should they be present with them now? Kind of deal.
Yep. You're totally right. Okay, so how do Midge and Joel navigate the challenges of dating and relationships with other people after their separation? Who was the one that got away for these two? So Midge has Lenny Bruce, Benjamin, Shy Baldwin, Silvio, which Park guy? Is that Silvio? Is that Jess from Gilmore Girls? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gordon Ford. And then Joel has Penny and May.
Yes. So we really get to see more of this relationship development in season two when they go on vacation to this, like, Jewish camp. And it is hilarious to see. They have to deal with everyone coping with the fact that they are separated and the whispering and everything. And I love that Joel just hops up on stage and is like, yeah, we're separated. Stop looking at us. Get over it. But it is in this season that we also see Midge get closer with Benjamin, who she eventually dates and quickly develops into a close relationship. They become engaged, but she also has an affair with Joel.
I know.
When she's with Benjamin.
Screw both of them.
I was like, Midge, you know how this feels. Why are you letting it happen to another person?
She just can't help herself. Like, there are just some things that Midge cannot avoid. And one of those things is always falling for Joel at the worst times in her life.
I know. So Benjamin's really huge. And then there's always just this. Do you have anything more to say? Let's just go through the people, I guess.
Yeah, go through the people.
Do you have more to say about Benjamin?
Benjamin, not really. Shy Baldwin, I do, because I think I just feel so awkward about how that goes down. Because she makes a joke about him being gay, right? And then he kicks her off the tour.
Not necessarily being totally.
Just like being like a more effeminate man, I think.
Correct. Not necessarily calling him out, but like kind of subtly hinting about it.
Yeah, and he kicks her off the tour, which. Awkward.
Correct.
I think they have some cute
when
moments.
His manager tells her that this is what I want you to do. And
Right.
Like,
well,
he can't own up to it.
No,
what
he
a jerk.
Can't. He can't. And the two of them have some cute moments, but I just don't think that there was really chemistry.
No,
there.
It wasn't. I just wanted to talk about, like, the relationship in general. Like, it's not like a dating relationship, just a friendship.
They were
in a
really
sense.
Good friends.
They were so good friends.
I loved
and
them
I
as
hate
friends.
That it
Shy
came
was
between
such a
them.
Good friend to her, but she really screwed up with that. And
she did.
So I don't blame him.
But I love when they go and visit his. Go to his wedding and, like,
I know,
trash everything at times.
I know.
She, like, sneaks into the bathroom.
Yes.
To have that final conversation with him.
Oh,
and
my gosh. And then so the Jess character,
Silvio,
I enjoyed him. I thought he was, it was, you know, a short thing, but
it was a short lived relationship with, he brings her back to his apartment after like weeks of meeting in the park. He's like, oh, let's go have some coffee. And then the coffee shop is closed. He's like, oh, I can make coffee at my place. And then his wife walks in.
Yeah. It's like,
but like they're not married. I forget.
They're really together or something.
Or they were separated at the time. I don't remember what it was, but
he's like, it's not what you think. I didn't feel like totally uncomfortable with it. Like when it was happening.
It was kind of just a fling, and she finally, like, it was her just kind of like settling into herself and reconnecting. But one that we really need to talk about is Lenny Bruce.
Not yet. Gordon Ford. What did you think of Gordon Ford?
I had mixed feelings about him.
Me too. I didn't love him.
There were times I was like, oh, he's being like his true self, and there's other times where he's just being a
personality
jerk. Mm-hmm.
It was hard to tell, like, if
self-righteous.
It was hard to tell, like, when he was like real and when he was not with her. Mm-hmm. That's why I did not ship them.
And the whole like rule about like I can't have you on, and then he was being petty about it because his wife asked him, like, you dirty crossing.
Yes.
But I thought it was really weird that he was trying to hit on her at times too.
Yep. And
I liked him until I didn't like him.
Yeah, because I mean, he's a TV personality. And then he said some weird stuff at the end that just really turned me off. I forget exactly what it was, but he said some stuff and I was like, ugh. But the real one we got to talk about is Lenny Bruce, who shows up in her life just over and over and over again. I am a big fan of the relationship that's just like one-off meetings until finally it happens. And that's why I was so devastated that it didn't happen, because I was like, oh, I've been waiting for this the entire freaking time. Mm-hmm. And the chemistry was incredible. They also
chemistry's really
good. And they also understood each other, like, because of the work that they both do and just all of it. So I was really shipping that for her. But I think the point of the show was that her love was comedy. That's ultimately what ended up happening, so they couldn't have had her with him, but especially because he also wasn't really the type to be like in a committed relationship. But I loved them. I really did. I thought they had these little wise, quippy moments, and I loved that.
Yeah. I love when they... Let me see if I can find my note. I took a lot of notes, so I'm just trying to zip through... They do a short bit on the TV, and then they go on a date in Florida, and they spend the night together. Although they don't clearly entertain the idea, clearly entertain the idea of like, ooh, what might happen. And then he says like, one day before I'm dead, and she goes, it's a date. And you just get these like moments of like, if. And then they do get together that one time, and she like saves him, like he's like wasted and probably has drugs in his system.
Yeah.
And he, she pulls him. I think this is either an episode ender or a season ender. But the next episode starts where he's like waking up and he's at her house and he's like, I gotta get out of here. Like, this is not my place. He can't deal with kids, he can't deal with like
her all lifestyle, the extra drama.
And he's like, this isn't for me, I can't handle it. I'm not that type of guy. But he's a really good motivator for her.
He is.
He's a really good pusher in just like getting her to recognize what she wants for herself, and just a huge supporter in the background. I'm trying to find the scene. I know they're in, what's a place in New York? Dang it.
Carnegie Hall?
Yes, Carnegie Hall.
That was a great scene between the two of them.
So good.
Oh my gosh. And,
she turns down opening for a big singer that Lenny like set up for her. Mm-hmm. And Lenny is just furious.
Yep.
And tells her that she needs to get back out there and work for her goal, or it's not going to happen, because at the time she's working at a gentleman's club as like the MC.
Right.
Which is fine. Like she's making that
and
business
grow. And she actually loves those people.
She's doing
too.
Really like, well.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but she's not doing what she's supposed to do. She's not growing.
Right.
So she has to confront her feelings. She can't hide anymore. And he's like, if you blow this, Midge, I swear you're going to break my effing heart.
Yes.
Like, you can't.
Which, I mean, they're both clearly dramatic because they're like actors. But like that moment, oh my gosh.
He has so much passion for her. Like he wants to see her do well.
Yep.
And they just have some great moments. And then at the end, when we see him like really go down the rabbit hole of drugs and alcohol, and she tries to send Susie in to kind of ask him to be the manager. And I feel like that might be the last moment that we see of him.
I think it is.
I don't remember, but he ultimately says, no, I'm not, like, I can't do it. And like, it's apparent that this wasn't the first time that she's asked him. It's happened once before as well, or multiple times. And Susie comes out and goes to Midge, is like, sorry, he just says no.
And
because Midge wants him to, like, he helped her get to where he, and she wants to like
help
pull
it.
Him
yeah,
out
yeah,
of
yeah.
out of his depression and illness, because he has alcoholism and
a lot of stuff going on,
druggy. So I think he eventually dies. I think
that's what we're supposed to take from it.
But I think the because some of these characters
are
like
real characters,
real people in history. So I think the story is that he dies from overdose.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then, so going over to Joel, so Penny and May, what are our feelings about these two?
Penny's a dumb brick.
Yeah, Penny's not even really on here, Devin. But May, I really like.
I thought she really fit in well to the whole makeup of the show. She was very witty and very on top of things. She is not Jewish, which blows everyone's mind. And it's him trying to deal with, okay, how do I introduce this Chinese girl to my parents who are expecting this Jewish girl? And it's a whole whirlwind adventure of trying to figure out how to get her to feel comfortable with the situation. And then there's a surprise pregnancy. And she makes the choice to not continue with pregnancy.
I know.
And,
I was so devastated because I loved
Joel.
Them.
Yes.
I really loved them. And then she
left,
right, to become a doctor.
He was so ready to, he was so ready to like, pursue this, and she's like, I can't give it up.
Oh, just killed me, because they were good together too. Like, they just had some really good moments and some good like one-liners, and I don't know, I thought that she was really, really his style and his speed, and he also met her where she was at when it came to intelligence. So I really liked them together. I'm sad about it.
I agree. But of the ones for Midge, I really liked Benjamin. I thought that that would have been something. I think they moved it a bit too fast as well. But I really hate
like
the way that she treated him.
Yeah.
And just like dropping him off the face of the earth.
Right.
Like no explanation, no nothing. Just like canceling the wedding. And then total props to him for coming. They have that meeting in the diner and he like blows up on her.
Right.
I'm like, good for you, man, because you deserve that.
Yes. I actually forgot about him. Like, for some reason, he just didn't stick out in my mind very much. But
Zachary Levi.
Yep. And yeah, so for Midge, Lenny Bruce really was the guy I wanted her with. And for Joel, obviously May. But in the end, like, I kind of shipped Midge and Joel, and I hate myself for shipping them. We'll talk more about it. Why? More about why later, but. But yeah, so that's really my thoughts on who else they would have ended up with.
Sure. Okay. So, continuing, what role do their family and friends, specifically Imogene and Archie, play in their relationship? And to flip that, how does their relationship impact their friends and family?
Imogene and Archie are just, like, good friends. Well, most of the time, most of the time. Archie has some
time. I will say
times.
That Archie is a better friend to Joel than Imogene is to Midge.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It, probably if you look at the overall, like... But there are moments where Imogene comes in clutch for Midge.
I feel like she doesn't come in clutch when she needs to.
Yeah, there are moments where she should be there and she's not. That's true.
Like, she's like the superficial friend, whereas Susie's yeah. there through the thick and thin.
Oh, yeah, Susie's Midge's real ride or die, for sure.
Yeah.
But the two of them are sort of Joel and Midge's outlets. That's how mm-hmm. they kind of... are a part of this relationship. I would say Midge and Joel actually impact their family and friends more than their family and friends impact them. So when they end up not together anymore, I feel like their friends, their parents, their kids are all just like
their worlds are shook.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Jane is like really going off right now.
In the bouncer?
Yeah, do you hear her screaming in the background?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh my gosh. But they impact their friends and family way more than their friends and family impact them. It's just the truth.
Yeah, I agree. Which is sad that two people can rock the whole boat that way. But I do love Archie and Joel's relationship when Archie's starting to slip and thinking that he might leave Imogene.
And Joel's like nope.
Has a fight with it. Like, yeah. A physical fight, like, punches him. And is like, and to say, like, you can't make the same mistake that I did. Like, you see how my life is. You can't do this to yourself. So, I mean, that's huge. Like, to almost throw away your friendship
Joel.
So that, yeah, to almost throw away your friendship so that way your friend doesn't make the same mistake that you did. Like, that's huge. So I really like their friendship. I the baseball scene when they're just like in the park, like smacking baseballs, drinking beer.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Like talking about their lives and everything that's going on. Like, it's a true like friendship. Whereas I don't really see that as much with Imogene and Midge.
Maybe
I don't
more
see
in the
them...
beginning. She doesn't really stick around very long.
Yeah, and I don't know the reasoning behind that, but she's not really always there. When Midge needs her the most.
That's true. But anyway, so what are the key moments of growth and self-discovery for Midge and Joel individually, and how do these impact their relationship?
Well, a lot of Midge's self-discovery comes from her comedy.
That's
and
true.
Just the growth of it all. She defines herself in her comedy, basically. Whereas Joel, I really like his growth. By his devotion to, well, not devotion, but like he dedicates his time, he quits his job and then goes to his dad's business and is like, I'm going to help you out, get out of the hole. Because his dad is in the gutter with his I think it's a, they make dresses, they make clothing, their clothing line. So he helps with the bank statements and trying to deal with the debt and everything. And I love that Shirley, his mom, like has like cash stashed everywhere. I mean, there's even some in like the wall of an apartment building and stuff. Like, it's just everywhere. But he really focuses on his family with his parents. When everything goes apart. And then from there, he's like, wow, I can actually be like a successful business person. I'm going to go get my own club. And like he does, he goes from the Chinatown, which of all places you do not expect to see a successful bar. And he has all the issues there, but he makes it happen. And he's just, You really see the growth in himself and how proud he is of what he's become by the end of the story. So because they are both on their own paths, they do like waves and crossing with each other, but they don't always, like, their paths don't always meet, converge, I guess that would be, like, their paths of self-discovery and their growth kind of allow them to branch out, but not necessarily always connect back.
Obviously, when Midge discovers that she's actually a comedic talent, mm-hmm. but I also think she has some big discoveries when it comes to her parents, which we'll probably talk more about on their episode as well. But sure. She really doesn't appreciate them too much until the end. And in the end, she does start to appreciate them more. She starts doing stuff for her mom's business. All that, she realizes that her parents housed her and still house her. And
yeah, how much they sacrificed
for her. It's like a huge moment for her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think she also learns how to become a more responsible parent in having to, like, more responsible. Not the most responsible, but more responsible in having to deal with that with Joel.
I just remembered the sleep schedule, sleep issue with Ethan.
Yes.
Where he was like, where they like have him sleeping out and like
the slowly hall making
slowly making his way
back
day
yeah.
or whatever back to his own room, because the psychiatrist said like you got to keep a line and he has to move it every day, so that he sleep out in the hall sometimes. And the parents are so, especially Abe, the dad is so mad.
I know. I love Abe.
Yeah, he's great.
For Joel, I mean, we see him grow a lot with the business that he creates, of course. I think that we see him grow a lot when he's with May. He's willing mm-hmm. to commit to her after a whole life of failed commitments. So right. I think that we see him finally coming into his responsible phase there. It's just really unfortunate that she's not in her responsible phase. I mean, she could be by choosing to go after her dream, but
right.
It's just sad that they don't meet up in the middle with that.
Right.
There's a lot of self-discovery for both of them. I think Joel actually has a lot of self-discovery when he's seeing Midge perform as well, because he realizes that she's meant to do this rather than just being mad about it. And he starts to understand her a little bit more as he sees her on the stage than he ever did when they were married.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yep.
Cool. So what are some of your favorite and, yes, not so favorite scenes between these two?
Really, like, not so favorite? I'm not sure. Like, I don't really like when Midge starts getting involved with the mafia. Like, she doesn't know that she is.
She doesn't, yes.
But I start to get really bad vibes during that season of her life, because you kind of get the sense that Joel doesn't like them from the very beginning, and that gives you, like, the discomfort and the tension of knowing that he's going to have to fix this problem for her. And that discomfort is really, like, unsettling to me. I do not like that. So that would probably be my least favorite, is when she starts getting involved with the mob.
Yeah.
And he has to sort of answer to that. And then my favorite moments, it's hard to say. I really like when they have their family dinners with both of their parents, and they're starting to, like, they have these little quips back and forth where they're starting to, like, become friends again. And it's like they bond about the fact that they think their parents are ridiculous. And that to me is just so funny. But apart from that, I can't think of any, like, specific moments. I love, doesn't Joel beat up some guy that was making fun of her on stage once? I think that's fairly early on. Like, some guy, like, makes fun of Midge or, like, mm-hmm. shouts out during her performance. And yeah, Joel, like, punches the guy out. And I remember being like, during that scene. But yeah, so that's probably what I'd say, is when they have their little, like, reminiscing moments, or when he punched that guy out. That was enjoyable
for me. I mean, there's a lot of great moments where Joel comes to the rescue. One that comes to mind is when Midge does a doesn't act at a club, and then the club owner was like, oh, this was just a taster, like, you're not getting paid for this. And Midge is like, what? And Susie like tries to get the money, but she can't, so she calls in the Hail Mary and has and six Joel in on him, and Joel's like, you pay my wife, like,
yep. He comes in, he slaps him. Not literally, but it was a very enjoyable. Yeah.
It's a fun moment, and moment. I love their wedding is fun.
That is a fun moment. Oh, I'm so sad when they look back to all that, though. It makes me sad that
there's a lot of different flashbacks that are like great moments between them. When he proposes to her too, and he's in the middle of the street, like. They just have great moments together, and obviously they have some
That he screws it all up. They had such a good history, and he didn't just have a beautiful wife, because she was beautiful, but smart and witty and intellectual and just a good, mm-hmm. She made damn good brisket and like was a pretty damn good wife. Brisket. And he just like, oh, just makes me mad, because there are some like people who don't take care of themselves and don't do anything. And that doesn't justify them being like cheated on if a commitment is made, mm-hmm. but like it still just like really, really frustrates me because she did. I'm sorry, I'm going off on a rant now. Now I'm officially ranting.
You got me ranting. Some of the least favorite moments though are when Midge asks for the divorce and they're sitting in. Eventually, the day comes where they have to go to the judge, and the judge is like, "What, you guys are a perfect couple, why don't you just like let it why don't you just ride this out and see what happens?" And Midge is like, no, this has to happen before she goes on her trip with Shy Baldwin. Another one of my least favorites is when they wake up in Las Vegas and they spent the night together and they got remarried. It's a really funny scene, but also like, you idiots, like, what are you doing? they are very, they just have like a little bit of a high schooler vibe to them as well. Like,
yes, they just, definitely do.
I don't know. Like, I think it was a funny scene. I really liked it, but I was also like, you idiots.
You idiots.
And then they call out each other, and then he's dating May at the time too.
Yep.
And he's like, oh my gosh, we just did this, and I'm kind of interested. I guess he's not dating her, but he's interested in May. And he's like, you can't tell anybody that this happened.
The two of them can't
help. It's funny, but it's stupid, too.
It is stupid. It is.
All right. Moving on.
Moving on.
Keep going.
How does Midge and Joel's relationship reflect the evolving gender dynamics and societal norms of the time period portrayed in the show?
So this is huge. I really liked this aspect of the show that was kind of portrayed throughout, of these just highlighting women doing jobs that they wouldn't normally do.
Right.
It
was kind of a neat thing.
And even I'm just trying to think of another example besides Midge.
Susie.
There's
Lennon.
Also, yeah, kind of, I guess. But I was thinking more of
or Sophie, not Susie.
Yeah, Sophie. But when she's working at the department store, I forget what it. It starts with a B.
Burberry.
There's an R. No, there's an R in it. Sorry. Anyway, regardless, when she's working at the department store,
Bloomingdale's?
She like starts. Is it Bloomingdale's?
I thought maybe it was Bloomingdale's. I don't know.
Could be Bloomingdale's. I could be wrong. But when she's working there, and then she's working at the counter, then she gets demoted to like the call center.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of this like hidden dynamic changes, societal norms, and sort there that's challenging and stuff, and I just really enjoyed the show and seeing this in a new light. Not that I watch a whole lot of like historical shows and whatnot, but this one was really impactful in how I saw this side of women and taking charge. And
it was kind of beautiful to
and
watch.
And choosing your own life. Like you don't have to be the person that makes that brisket every night for your husband. Like you can be your own person and you can
do pursue your own greatness. Thing. And I think it also, it really impacts Joel to see this because he almost views her as an object, like not just his wife, but something that will always be around whether or not he puts the effort in.
Sure.
And then he sees that when she goes up on stage, the feelings that she was never really able to share with him kind of come out. And I think he gains respect for her in that way. Like, it's not really necessarily even just about an occupation. I think it's also about speaking your mind. And I think, like, in this case, like, she
exactly the obstacles that she has to go through.
Yeah. And like
the obstacles that she has to juggle with, because like, a man can go up on stage and talk about like his wiener, but like she can't go up on stage and talk about her breasts kind of deal. Like,
but then he, I think he learns like how to really like view her as a person, like to respect her. So I think that there's a huge thing there as well with them learning how to respect each other almost. And I enjoy that part of the show so much. And I think that's what leads to the next question of why he decides to do what he decides to do, because he'll always protect her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But I think one he respects scene that comes her.
One scene that comes to mind with like the gender dynamics is when she goes to this new gig, and all she gets her time keeps getting shifted back, I think, but all these guys keep going, these regulars to the club keep going up and like doing it. She's like, wow, these guys are terrible, these guys are terrible, these guys are terrible. And then she goes up and like tears their acts apart, and the owner of the pub is like, you can't, or the gig is like, you can't do this, you can't tear about my best guys,
right.
And everyone is like laughing and it finds
but
it funny,
like funny. Whereas
she's doing a great job, but so you get to see that the contradictory and the dynamics and stuff there.
But it's so enjoyable. So like, it is so enjoyable to watch, which I think is the whole point of the entire show. But, okay. Oh, no. Is it your turn?
It's me.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
It's my turn.
Go ahead.
So, so what are your thoughts on Joel's sacrifice to wipe the slates clean for Susie and Midge?
Okay, sorry. I was just doing something. You know, like I said, he will always protect her. Like, that's the thing that gets me, because usually when someone cheats in a story, it ends up that we never really see a redemption arc for them, because it's easier to have the audience hate that person than to say that they could come back from something like that.
Tamlin!
Oh my God! Don't bring him up. I will not be dealing with ACOTAR today. But I think that we see Joel completely 180. I don't know. People say 180, 360. 360 to me means you're going back to the same place. So I'm going to say 180, because he flipped to the other side. He protected this woman that he does truly love. He gave up his entire life for her. So I think it is the ultimate self-sacrificing, which is the opposite of what he did when he cheated on her. It was that was the ultimate self-indulgence. Yeah. And when he...
It's his best virtue, but it's also his worst virtue. Because it really tears him apart.
It tears him apart. But after he's cheated on her, so I think this is what we glean from it, is that he, in the beginning, was completely self-indulgent, not self-sacrificial. And then he slowly learns to become a self-sacrificial husband and father. But he doesn't get to be back in her life in that way with that title. But that's why I do see this as a huge... I don't want to call it a win, because it sucks that it has to happen this way, but he's redeemed himself in my mind after this act.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually really like the characters of Frank and Nikki. I think they're great, funny mobsters. Like, they have some great scenes, and the way they handle things is really funny. They're just like almost like the cliche mobsters in a way, like goofy mobsters. But like I said, Joel's trait is his best, but it's also his worst in that it's his own oh shoot, what's that term? When tragic flaw. It's his tragic flaw almost that he falls on his own sword. Like he self-sacrifices himself so that Midge can have a clean slate. He's his her ultimate protector. He will go out and fight for her no matter what. And there's many times that he's talking to Susie. He's like, you better watch out for her. Like you're going when they go out on the road together, when they do different things, he's like, when she comes to him saying like, you got to take control of Midge's money, I can't hold on to it right now, and he's like, you need to protect my wife, like pull yourself together. Like he is very protective of Midge and will do anything for her only after he has lost her.
That's the hardest part for me, is that it's after he has lost her. Mm-hmm. But he still does it, which makes him, in my mind, redeemed. Yeah. So, do you think he's redeemed?
I do. A little bit. I don't know.
I think he's redeemed. Not that she should accept him back immediately, but I do think that he has redeemed himself from his... 'cause
I do wish that they had a better ending, which we're going to get to in this next question.
Yeah, so let's get to it then. So what are your thoughts on the ending season for these two? What does the future hold for them?
So the whole season 5, I felt like a little bit rushed at times and a little bit like there was a whole episode where it was a roast for Susie and we were getting stories of and trying to piece the story all together, and it didn't feel, at least to me as a viewer, like I didn't feel like I was able to understand what was real and what was fake because of the roast and because of all this gossip going around. Like I don't feel like I got the full picture, so I was trying to piece together things that were like, is this real, is this not real? But so that was my overall feeling about, and that was just really one episode, but I don't know how I felt about the time switches as well. It was like, I don't know if follow. I would have rather, it just kept on jumping around. I'm like, I feel like I need a map or like a timeline so that I can write down like, okay, this happens this year and this happens that year, because it was just all over the place. I feel like one episode started off with an interview with Esther, Midge's daughter, and I was like, okay, I like this. Is this going to be like a consistent thing through just this season? But then it was like a one and done thing. I was like, oh, I don't know what's going on with the writing for this last season.
It was a little strange. I liked how they did it from like a different like era and point of view there, but I kind of also just really wanted, first of all, I really wanted like a true ending for Lenny Bruce and her. And like, I didn't just want to be told about it. I wanted a real moment between the two of them. And I also just like did not like that Joel just rotted in jail. Like I don't like that.
Yeah, I agree. The ending of him falling on his sword and going to prison, that's rough. For them both to be lonely, that's...
I mean, it says something about their priorities, but ultimately it's not settling for the viewer. You know?
Yeah.
I just had an issue. Like, I thought it was great that it ended with her and Susie, like, becoming friends again.
I like that.
I liked that. But I think that we deserved something about Joel and Midge. Or Midge and Lenny Bruce. Or Joel and May. Like, I...
Not that she had to end with anyone, but...
But I would have liked to see...
I hated to see her so alone and so isolated. And, like, I think that was... part of even just like the filming of it, some of those scenes where she's just like, it's just a wide angle and just like her by herself walking through this room, like you get that feeling that she, although she lived this life and she got the fame, like she's not super happy with it.
Yeah, she
either.
Doesn't
like, she
seem
feels
thrilled.
Alone. She like looks at the picture of Joel when he was younger kind of deal and like smiles and cherishes it. Like I don't like
it's a very confusing ending. It really is, because
I feel like I need to rewatch last season just so that I can like fully
grasp it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very hard. I am a very big fan of a show that's run this long having an ending like The Crown, where we get like all the stages of this person's life because we've grown up with them. This series has mm-hmm. been long, which I find that Miss Maisel was long too. That we get a closed ending for every character that we really just didn't get closure on a lot of these different characters. I didn't find closure on Midge. Which to me, it's like, how do you not even have closure on your main character? So,
yeah,
perhaps this is what they intended. They wanted to
I need
you
to rewatch
understand.
To kind of just wrap my mind around the whole piece, but
yeah. And perhaps they wanted us to understand that her life did not necessarily give her the fulfillment she thought it would, but that's not a fulfilling ending to me necessarily.
Yeah.
You know,
to see Joel get pulled out of I don't want to call it mass, but because I know it has a different term,
just like a service. It's like an Orthodox
service at his mosque. Mm-hmm. Is that what they're called?
Temple.
Mm-hmm. From the FBI, and
I
then
know
he gets a letter he gives a letter to Midge and explains everything, and that's the moment that it like blows up with her and Susie. Like, I liked the anticipation of it all. I just hate the fallout of it.
It was definitely good drama, and it was actually even a funny scene, but it just didn't do it for me. At least we should have gotten more after that. To have been closed. I needed closure.
Yeah.
But anyway.
To see just Joel sitting on that bench.
It kills me.
Old, saggy, and
it
like
kills
you can me. Tell that you can tell that there's still a relationship there, because I think she either visits. Does she visit him, or does she send him stuff? I forget.
I think
now.
She visits him.
But there's still a close relationship there, but it's not the same.
No,
and
never will be.
What does the future hold for them? I don't know. I just hope that. I don't know. I want something.
I want something more.
I want some more.
Some more's.
Okay. Well, we made it to the end.
Yep.
Do we ship it?
I really could have.
I really could have.
And that's after redemption, after he screwed everything up. Like, mm-hmm. I could have shipped them. And that's what I'm saying. Like, when you start the show, you're like, I hate Joel. And you never expect that a cheater is going to have a redemption arc. You just never expect it. And then he did. And in my head, I was like, he's grown a lot. And Midge has grown a lot. And I kind of ship it. But the thing is, then everything goes down.
Yeah.
What do you think, Devin?
You fall in love with these characters when watching them. And although, like, I despised Joel at the start. He was not real. He was fake. He was a liar. He was a cheater. Like, there were so many things that were Joel, and he kind of really grows throughout. I don't know if it's still, if the Joel at the end is still fully redeemed. I like his growth. I don't know if it's fully redeemable. Mm. Which is probably why at the conclusion, like, they had it all together at the beginning and they didn't cherish it then. So now she has a life that she wanted, but is not like,
not fulfilled.
She's happy, but she's not like fully satisfied. And he had the life that he wanted and ends up
destroying it
in prison.
Yeah.
So I really want to ship these guys. I feel like they're good together, but they're also catastrophic. Like they're toxic at times too.
Yeah.
They make poor choices. They sleep with each other when they really shouldn't.
And yeah.
So they're like teenagers almost in a way. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, I want to ship them. I do. I like them.
But
I have contingencies.
Always, Devin. Always.
I like them.
Yeah. Well, Let's hear what our commenters had to say.
Yes. So you want me to start off?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Our first comment comes from Jessica. And Jessica says, I could not stand Joel at first. Me too. But he did end up making amends. I would have shipped them if he wasn't such a jerk at the beginning. They do have good chemistry.
Yeah, you pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. and then our second comment here is from Alex. So he says their love story is both heartwarming and heartbreaking. From laughter to tears, betrayal to forgiveness, their journey is as unpredictable as it is captivating. And I still don't know how I feel about it. The ending for them is both satisfying and heart-wrenching. Jane is having opinions too, as they are both alone.
Yeah, it's really hard to see it all happen. Like, you are kind of satisfied with the ending of her finally reaching the moment that she's wanted all along. She's so caught up, and she reaches that success, and he reaches that success, and but mixed feelings, mixed bag.
It really is. But anyway, thank you all for listening. We are getting near to the end of season 5, which is absolutely crazy. If you're enjoying what you're hearing or you have feedback, please leave us a review and rate our show. It really helps.
That's right. And if you're interested in joining us on the podcast or leaving comments or just chatting with us, you can send us a message on Insta. That's where we really... communicate with you guys, but you can also reach out to us on Facebook as well. Or you can email us at weshipitpodcast@gmail.com.
See you next time, shippers. We love you. The first time I laid eyes on you, that was it for me.
See you guys.